this is not me, it's you. They don't need to hear from Scott Mills. I have nothing to offer them, Father. I've not been there before the foundation of the world, although you had me in mind before the foundation of the world. I didn't write the Bible. I'm not the best preacher, teacher that's out there on this planet that they can listen to. But Father, I pray that what I reveal today will come from your heart. It'll be the foundation for what we're going to study in the book of Romans. So that, Lord, we can honor you by being sons and daughters that love you so much that we're willing, Lord, to do whatever you ask. And I just pray your anointing upon this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this series will be a study on grace. We'll not boast about good works, deeds done, or projects completed. We will not address religious fervor, knowledge, or personal opinion. God is certainly not impressed by our own accomplishments, or our hard work, or our self-righteousness, right? This is a study on the grace of God, of which Paul does a great job in the book of Romans of explaining, so we're going to get right to it. And here's the parable that I want to start with today that reflects Paul's teaching in the first couple of chapters. There were five sons who lived in a castle on a river. I feel like I'm with my sons at night telling my bedtime story, but I think this will really speak clearly to you. Five sons who lived in a castle on a river with their father. The oldest son was obedient. The other four, rebellious. The father had warned each of them to stay clear of the riverbank lest they be swept away. But the lure of that river was way too strong. Now you are allowed to spiritualize this as I tell this parable. Okay? Obviously we're talking about temptation, right? Each day, little by little, the four rebellious brothers inched closer and closer to the edge of that river. Temptation does that, you know. Well, as you would expect, all four fell in one day. Their cries for help were lost in the rage of that river. They ended up on the bank of a strange land in a barren place. Savage people dwelt there. It was not safe. It was cold and it was rugged. For a long time, the four boys lay on the bank, stunned at their fall and not knowing where to turn. Despite their repeated attempts to get back upstream, they couldn't because the current was too strong and they didn't even know the way back. They finally admitted, "We shouldn't have disobeyed our father." With the passing of time, they all learned to survive in this strange land. But they determined not to lose hope of returning home, for they longed to see their father and their older brother. Then one night, one brother went missing. The other three found him the next morning among the savages, building a hut. He got tired of talking about returning home to his father. He told his brothers, "Father isn't here. He isn't near. Am I to spend forever awaiting his arrival? I'm making new friends. I'm learning new ways. If he comes, he comes. But I'm not holding my breath." Some days later, a second brother went missing. The other two found him on a hillside staring at the hut of the first brother. When they asked what he was doing, he replied, "What our first brother has done is disgusting. He's an utter failure. He's an insult to our name, having built himself a hut and forgetting our father." The others replied, "Maybe, but what we did was wrong as well. We also ignored our father." But the second brother replied, we may have made a mistake, but compared to our sleazy brother in the hut, we're saints. Father will forgive us, but not him." The brothers urged him to return with them, but he refused, as he said, "I'm just going to sit and I'm going to continue to keep an eye on our other brother." Someone needs to keep a record of his wrongs to show Father. So the remaining two left their judgmental brother. Then one morning, as you could expect, the third brother disappeared. The youngest brother found him at the riverbank, stacking rocks, yelling, "It's no use. Father won't come for me. I must go to him. There's only one option. I will build my own path back up the river, rock by rock. When Father sees how hard I've worked, he'll have no choice but to receive me." The last younger brother didn't even know what to say. He just left him and he returned to base. Then all of a sudden he lifted his eyes to see the face of his eldest brother who had not disobeyed his father. "You have come for us," he shouted, and they embraced. The eldest brother asked, "So where are your other three brothers?" He answered, "One made a home here. One's watching him, and the other's building a path up the river." The elder brother approached the hut-building brother first, only to be told to go away as he was not welcome there. "But I've come to take you home," said the elder brother. But this hut-builder became content with where he was, and he refused. So the elder brother next approached the fault-finding brother that was watching the hut-builder from atop of the hill. The fault-finder said, "How good it is that you are here to see the sin of this brother of ours. I've recorded everything. Punish him. He deserves it." But the firstborn said softly, "We need to deal with your sins first." "My sins? They're nothing compared to him." So he took off running to the hut. Said, "Come, follow me. I'll show you who's sinning." But the elder brother left, and he went to the third brother at the river who was stacking rocks, and he said, "Father has sent me to take you home." But this brother never looked up and simply said, "Can't talk, must work." The elder brother responded saying, "There's no need. I'm here, and I'm your way back." The brother replied, "That's great, but I must continue to work to show Father that I'm worthy. Then I'll ask for mercy." "But he's already given you mercy," the eldest replied. "I'll carry you up the river. You could never build your way up." But the brother was offended by the elder brother's comments. He said, "I need much work." "No." "No," said the elder brother, "you need much grace. The distance between you and Father is way too great." But the brother responded in anger, saying, "You're just trying to keep me from my holy work." And he threw a rock at him. So the elder brother returned to the youngest without any of his other brothers. The youngest asked, "The others didn't come?" "No," replied the elder. "One chose to indulge, the other to judge, and the third to work. None of them chose to freely come back with me to the Father." The youngest said, "So they'll remain here?" "For now," replied the eldest brother. So, folks, this parable describes Paul's message to us in the first few chapters of Romans. Each brother had an opportunity to be carried home by the elder brother. Instead, one decided to, metaphorically speaking, sit on a bar stool and indulge himself. Another chose to sit in a judge's chair and compare himself. A third was found sitting on a church pew trying to save himself. The fourth had enough sense to be carried by Jesus safely into the Father's arms. As you can see, the first few chapters of Romans that we're going to study will not exactly be upbeat. Paul begins with our sinfulness and our need for grace. We have to see the mess we're in before we can appreciate the God that we have. Before presenting the grace of God, we must understand the wrath of God. And since that's where Paul begins, that's where we'll begin next week, starting in chapter 1. In the meantime, never lose sight of the cross and the mercy that is ultimately ours to receive.
blood that stained its frame, shed to wash away your shame. From the scars, pure love released, salvation by the mercy tree. By our thorns, it is finished, was his cry. The perfect Lamb was crucified. His sacrifice, our victory. Our Savior chose the mercy tree. The whole earth quaked at love's display. 3 days silent in the ground, this body born for heaven's crown.
Study them as you study the book of Romans, and I promise you, as I give you these messages, we will look at each and every chapter, and we will go into depth to find out how much love Jesus Christ has for us. And so I would just again ask you to help me by studying Romans so that we can together walk in the absolute love of Jesus Christ, because I tell you, today meant a lot to me, you showing love in my direction. I mean, it was just very, very powerful. I'll be standing up here after church. If anybody needs prayer, you can come up and pray. But in the meantime, Dan's going to close us today.
Father, you are so good. So good. God is good all the time, right? And we don't give him enough credit for it, do we? We don't. Father, forgive us. We know we need to praise you more, Father. Father, help us not to take you for granted. You are an awesome God. Help us to praise you all day, all the time, wherever we are, in the marketplace, at home, with friends, with family, with strangers. Father, help us to acknowledge you in every area of our lives, whatever we're doing, wherever we are. Because you are worthy. And we thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your Son back for us. Father, we're in dire times in our country, in the world. Father, we ask for boldness in our positions we take, in the things we do that define who we are. Father, we want to be defined by you. We want you to go with us wherever we go. Give us words to speak. Give us opportunities, doors opening up to be who you want us to be. Thank you for fulfilling the desires of our heart and fulfilling your purpose for us in our lives, Father God. Father, would you bless and keep each one as we go our separate ways today? Father, would you make your face shine on each one and bless each one with uncommon favor as you are gracious, Father God. Father, would you turn your face toward us and give us peace and help us to spread peace wherever we go, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.